guess it could possibly be construed as good news when somebody warns you, somebody tells you to get the heck out of Dodge, somebody tells you your zipper is down, somebody tells you don't go into that neighborhood. Is that an evangelist? I got good news for you. Really, what is it? Don't go into that neighborhood because you're going to get killed. So in that sense only, you see what I mean? You have to really stretch to see this as an evangel of any kind. And what a contrast. I'm not even done reading about it. What a contrast between our, well, message, our evangel. I mean, this is one of the most primitive and basic of all evangels, this Aeonian evangel. And I perceived another messenger flying in mid-heaven having an Aeonian evangel, Aeonian. And again, in this sense, it applies the word Aeonian. Doesn't mean it's going to last throughout the entire kingdom. No, no, no. It just means it's for a period of time. Every time we see that word Aeonian, we automatically protract it. And we should contract it. And we ought to look at the context every time, because this is a word that depends on context for its meaning, but for its own time period, what time period it applies to. So where was the joy and happiness where we left off here? Fire and sulfur, we covered that. I'm going to be having my indignation on you if you take the mark of the beast. That's an evangel. Okay, I guess you could kind of think of it as an evangel. Fumes of their torment. Not seeing that one. Those worshiping, those who will be suffering in the fire and the sulfur are those who were worshiping the wild beast, and they're having no rest day and night, those worshiping the wild beast and its image. And if anyone is getting the emblem of its name, then it's going to be a hot time for you. This doesn't apply to us. Here is the endurance of the saints who are keeping the precepts of God and the faith of Jesus. Here is the endurance of the saints. Saints is also a generic term. The phrase is this. Here is the endurance of the saints. Here, this presentation I'm giving to you, says John. Here is the endurance of those saints at that time who are keeping the precepts of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, Christians today will take this phrase and they will see the phrase, the saints, and they will say, well, that's us, because they don't, again, realize that saint is also a generic term. It was used to describe a mountain, the holy mountain. It was used, it's the same Greek word, hagion. In the Greek, it's the same root word for holy and saint. Saint is a noun, holy is the adjective. Holy as the adjective, it's another form of hagion, was used to describe, in the Septuagint anyway, the land, the holy land. How can land be holy? See, we relate saint and holy to moral behavior. And we also make it timeless. Saints, oh, that's us. No, the saints of Israel, the saints of that day of the indignation, the saints who are hearing the Aeonian evangel coming forth from heaven through the voices of three different messengers. And then they get to the phrase, who are keeping the precepts of God and the faith of Jesus. This is tricky. Wow. I'm telling you, God puts tripwires all through his word to trip people up. That's the purpose of tripwires. So that if you blink in this scripture, you are going to be off on a rabbit trail, possibly for the rest of your life. Who loves the word? Who wants to discern? Who wants to listen to sound teaching every day to understand these things? That's what's being shown here. That's what's being shown by me, by you, by A.E. Nock, who wrote this book. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's look under the covers, behind the curtains. Let's look under the bed of this revelation and find out what's being said here, who it's being said to, when it's being said, and at what time it's being said. Keeping the precepts of God and the faith of Jesus. Are we not of the faith of Jesus? Yes. But we are not of the faith of Jesus and at the same time keeping the precepts of God. So we divorce these two clauses, if that's what they are. I missed that class in English, that are appearing in the same sentence. This isn't for us. Oh, Martin, you're saying that we're not of the faith of Jesus. Yes, but I separate that from keeping the precepts. This is not a generic exhortation to all believers, to all saints of all time. And don't let the word aeonian throw you off. Don't let the word saint throw you off. Don't let the word precepts throw you off. Don't let the word faith and the words faith and Jesus throw you off, because they could do that here. I mean, Jesus, he's talking about Jesus, but there's the Jesus who's the minister of the circumcision, as Paul verifies in Romans 15:8. Jesus Christ has become a minister of the circumcision to confirm the patriarchal promises. That's Jesus. But Paul says, if we have known Jesus according to the flesh, he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, then we are to know him so no longer. So now we also worship Jesus, but not the Jesus that appeared to the nation Israel. We sure don't keep any precepts. But then precepts might be generic too. I hesitate to do these live studies. Paul could very well mention the word precept. But again, you have to parse the word precept, because there was the precept of the Ten Commandments and there was the precept of, hey, your taxes are due on April 15th. That's a precept, all right? It's not the Mosaic precept. So even that word is generic. Oh, I see the word law. It must be the law of Moses. No. Adam had a law in the garden. It was don't eat that fruit from that tree. That was a law. It wasn't the law of Moses. Paul has a phrase called the law of grace and the law of sin and death. These are figurative laws. Oh, boy. What word was I going to look up? Precept. Yeah, the word precept. I was going to say earlier that Paul would not use the word, we don't have any precepts. But now I'm thinking that Paul probably does use the word precept. It seems like I've seen it, but it's not the precept of Moses. So now I'm looking this up live here. Precept. See direction. Why did they do this to me? See direction. Here's one of those rare instances where the concordant takes one Greek word, translates it with two different English words, precept and direction. Are you kidding me? Why would you do that? I spilled wine in my Bible one time. Look at this. I don't think I've never shown this to anybody. I didn't know that when you put a corkscrew in a bottle of wine and pop that cork, that you can put the cork back on the bottle, but you can't lay the bottle sideways, say, in your duffel bag, because that wine will leak out the hole that you put in the cork with the corkscrew. Well, I put my Bible in the same duffel bag with a inverted, or should I say, horizontal bottle of wine that had been recorked, and this is the result. You're looking at it on the studio cam. Two glorious streaks of wine going down my key Greek-English keyword concordance on pages, well, several pages here. This leaks over onto several pages. The most glorious display would be on pages 112 and 113. So now I'm looking up the word direction, because the concordant translates a Greek word two different ways, direction and precept. And direction, direct direction. Antole is the Greek word. It sounds Spanish. Antole, it means in Finnish. It was translated direction and precept by the concordant version. Keep the precept, Matthew 19. Let's see, where does Paul say it? Oh, yes, he does. No, sin revives the precept, Romans 7, 9. He is talking about the Mosaic law there. The precept made Paul an inordinate sinner, Mosaic law. The precept for life, Romans 7:10. He talks about a holy precept. Okay, is there any precept? First precept with a promise. Ephesians 6:2. Let's go the distance here. A precept with a promise. Ephesians, in the most spiritual book of the scriptures. Let's go to Ephesians 6:2. Shall we? Live here on the Revelation series. Thank God we're in Ephesians, right? I guess I'm just looking for an excuse to get away from the Aeonian evangel, because I'm not impressed with it. It's not my evangel. Ephesians 6:2. Children, be obeying your parents in the Lord, for this is just. Honor your father and mother, which is the first precept with a promise. Okay, he's still talking about the law of Moses. He's still talking about the law of Moses. But he's passing it on to people to do. So it is a precept of Paul, obey your parents, but he's not putting it forth as thou shalt obey your parents. So I'm happy about that. So back to how much time we have. Yeah, back to the text here. And I haven't even started commenting. Well, I have started commenting on it, but I'm still doing the overview. Keeping the precept of God, the faith of Jesus. Boy, I went off on a tear there, didn't I? Verse 13, these are, thank God, this is the last verse concerning the Aeonian evangel. And I hear a voice out of heaven saying, write. And here's what John was told to write. Quote, happy are the dead. What? Talk about it. Yeah, this guy just died. That's good news. It's an evangel, my friend. Why? He died. Well, happy are the dead who are dying in the Lord henceforth. Yea, the Spirit is saying that they will be resting from their toil, for their acts are accompanying them. So it's kind of like congratulations on stopping beating your head against the wall. That's an evangel. Stop it. And when you do, good news. You just stop banging your head against the wall. Good news. These people are dead. Fantastic. That's only good news if you consider the context that there is wholesale death and killing and persecution and fire and sulfur going on at this time. So to die is a good thing. Still not saying death is a friend, absolutely speaking. Death doesn't usher you into the presence of the Lord. In fact, here's another testimony that death is the absence of life. I sounded like a preacher there. Death is the absence of life because they will be resting from their toil. There is no toil in death. There's no sweat. There are no taxes. There's no knowledge, wisdom, or device in the grave. They will be resting from their toil, for their acts are accompanying them. So that is an evangel right there. Should have gone on ahead there. It's also an evangel to say that their acts, the acts of this group of Israelites, which is not the 144,000, because they are being transferred into the kingdom alive. We have another thing in common with the 144,000. They're going through the veil of Aeon 3 to Aeon 4, we're going to be translated alive, those of us who remain to the coming of the Lord, into the next world. So these are not the 144,000. They're not going to die. These are those of the vast throng, or the great multitude, who are also Israelites, who will have to scramble for their lives. These are the ones who will have to overcome or not be given the key, the license to the tree of life. These are the ones who will have to resist taking the mark of the beast, or they will be tormented in fire and sulfur. The 144,000 don't even have the option of taking the mark of the beast. Their forehead is already occupied. Right? There's no occupancy. If you're looking to put the mark on the forehead, you would have to look at the 144,000 and say, sorry, no vacancy. This forehead has been preoccupied by the name of the Lamb and its God. What a fuss. Right? What a mess going on here. Even with the Aeonian good news being proclaimed at the tail end of this eon to Israelites who are struggling to be faithful. What immense contrast between them and us. Our evangel is the grace of God. Our evangel is that our salvation is not based on our behavior. It is not based on our worthiness. It is not based on any act that we did. In fact, it was sealed for us before the disruption of the world, before we were even born and could have put anything good or bad into practice. There's no angel flying around in heaven or a trio of angels shouting out things to us to help us get by. We have the Spirit of God itself making its home in us, and that is keeping us in this eon until we are translated alive into the next world.